Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes.
I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Joe Klimovich, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Chief Information Officer and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications. Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Again, this is a return engagement for you.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me back.
So it's been 2 years since you last on, almost to the day. I remember looking when I was doing some research, I had you back on August 2008. So here we are, August 2010. So there's a lot to catch up on. Let's start with a status check on some of your top priorities from the last time we spoke. I'm going to start with the big one. You mentioned NOAANet and the goal to collapse 12 wide area networks into one. Let's start with that question. How's that going?
Well, we've made some pretty good progress against all of my priorities that we talked about back then. Some obviously more than others, but with respect to NOAANet, we've completed the initial phases of the program to unify and secure our nationwide networks, and ultimately to reduce costs and improve performance. We still have many separate networks and lots of connections to the Internet, which we're trying to reduce. And again, that provides more cost-effective solution, but also it makes it easier for us to secure. So we've 130 sites are now on NOAANet in the weather service, marine and aviation operations, marine fisheries sites. They've all transitioned to NOAANet. And again, they're seeing increased service and security. And we've assured connectivity to our sites that require higher availability. So some of our sites require higher availability, and we've taken care of that. We're still in the planning phases for other sites. We've got hundreds of sites across the country to work through. And we've also worked the transition from FTS 2001 to GSA networks. So we did that in the interim as well. So a lot of activity. I would also talk about, we weren't working 2 years ago, but we're building a high-capacity nationwide network to service our researchers. We're doing this with ERA funds, and we're calling this network NWAVE, and we'll support 80 terabytes of climate research data per day, high-speed network, partnering with Internet 2. And again, that'll be a 10-gig connection, and primarily focusing on climate data, moving that around the country to enable our climate scientists to have the resources they need to understand, predict, and explain climate changes.
All right, so a lot going on. I definitely want to go back to the NWAVE because I think that's fascinating. It's a huge, you know, one, you're using Internet 2, and two, it's 80 terabytes a day. But let me back up real quick back to the NOAANet. You said 130 sites have moved to NOAANet. You have several hundred more, and you also dealt with the transition to networks. Give me some idea of how many sites we're talking about. You're going to do so many hundred per year, and then how's the networks fit into all of that?
Think about this as we're trying to build the common infrastructure, common backbone, common cloud out there for connecting all of our sites, and we're looking for the contractor to take advantage of their infrastructure to provide that common backbone, and we would connect our sites to that common backbone. And right now, that contractor's with GSA Networks, and what we're doing is, as funding allows, we're transitioning over from stovepipe contracts and moving to a consolidated infrastructure, connecting different sites to this consolidated backbone. And it's ultimately, what we're seeing is, you know, for the same price, you can get better service, or you can reduce the price to get the same service. And I think bandwidth is something that if you put it out there, people will use it.
You know, OMB has a big data center consolidation initiative that's going across government. They're complementary to each other. As you consolidate your WANs, you're also probably consolidating data centers.
We're certainly looking at that. I've got a couple of activities ongoing, but I got to tell you, from a data center consolidation perspective, it just makes sense to do that. We've been actually looking at and working data center consolidation for a number of years, and it just makes sense. It's good business to do that, but I think that we also need to look at it as we recap systems, where we put systems, and how do we display that. We're looking to consolidate and have been consolidating our satellite processing centers, our satellite command and control centers, our financial and admin systems. So that's been ongoing for many years, and we've, I think, achieved tremendous success in those areas. But also out in Honolulu, we've got about 23 separate facilities we're consolidating into one out in Pearl Harbor. Each one of those facilities has its own set of IT, and we're bringing those together into one data center. So nobody's given us a big pot of money to build new data centers, but as we consolidate sites, consolidate systems, we're trying to bring everything together. Another example is high-performance computing, where today we've got research and development computers in Princeton, Boulder, Colorado, and Gaithersburg, Maryland. And with the ERA funds, we are actually recapitalizing those three computers into two. One of those computers, or the biggest one, would be co-located with Department of Energy's computers down at Oak Ridge in the ORNL facility down there. It's taking advantage of their facility. And then the other one will be consolidated most likely in the West Virginia facility. But we're taking three sites, consolidating down to two. And essentially, maybe one, because we're taking advantage of Department of Energy's data center. So that's an example of we're just doing this as part of normal business operations.
And I know there's a lot of focus on it, but that sounds like you guys are not only not just to consolidate, but looking at, for instance, the energy departments and what they provide and taking advantage of what they can do. You did mention high-performance computing, and I want to go into that a little bit because that was a priority you mentioned last year. I think it's always a priority for you. And then you also mentioned just earlier in our conversation N-Wave. So give us a little bit of a status check of what you're doing around high-performance computing. You talked about data centers and N-Wave. More about N-Wave would be great, but also what's the latest on how you guys are dealing with the growing demand?
We've received $170 million of the American Recovery Reinvestment Act funds for increasing our computational capabilities to address complex environmental change, really at the local and regional levels. So I'm glad to say that we're meeting all of our milestones and everything's going great there. The result is we're fielding large-scale computing according to our plan to provide a five-fold or better increase in computing. But we're also acquiring associated networking and data storage and data center space to house these very large computers. And these are computers that are, they're not your average desktop computer. They're a huge, take 50,000 maybe so feet of computer room space. And they're really big systems. And you need to look at this from a system perspective. So you can take advantage of somebody else's data center space. We're doing that. So this is really executing the plan that we, for supercomputing, that we laid out in the fall of 2008, where we realized we must make long-term changes in our computing to meet the growing demand for accurate environmental information so that we can develop this really a one NOAA high-performance computing environment, a single environmental computing architecture. And so that plan was approved by NOAA leadership in 2008, fall of 2008, and it's great to be executing the plan.
Always is when you can execute something from the beginning. And real quick, is N-Wave part of that plan, or did N-Wave kind of come about separately?
No, N-Wave is part of the plan, and it's being funded with the same $170 million that we received in recovery investment funds.
And then, obviously, you said it's pretty big, support 80 terabytes of climate research per day. What's the status of it? When should climate scientists begin using it, or have some already begun using it?
We're building this out incrementally as we need the capacity. So it's some of the early segments are being built. It's really the infrastructure connecting the different sites together, connecting the computing, connecting the archive. Up in Princeton, we've got a very, very large archive. In Asheville, we've got a very large archive of climate data. And we're going to connect all of the sources of data with the scientists, with the computing. And we obviously will be putting this in as we need it. But this is being done with university consortiums and internet too. And it's proven to be a very cost-effective way of moving a large amount of data.
I know that's such a challenge for not only you guys, but sometimes I'll send a file to someone and I'll be like, well, do you have another address that's not your government address? Because I know that will get stuck in the firewall. So I imagine your scientists have that same problem too. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Joe Klimovich, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's CIO and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications.
CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Joe Klimovich, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Chief Information Officer and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications. Now, Joe, before break, we talked a lot about your priorities from the last time we spoke in August 2008. There's still one more I want to touch base with you on before we get to your new priorities, which I think you've also given us a little bit of a hint on. You mentioned last time about an enterprise-wide strategic alignment initiative and a new sourcing initiative. Give us an update of how that's going.
We really want to leverage the economies of scale and our buying power to provide the most efficient IT services we can. And that's really, I think, the acquisition of those IT services, it's centerpiece of providing effective, efficient services. And we are still proceeding according to the plan on executing our strategic sourcing NOAA's IT under one acquisition vehicle, and that vehicle is called NOAA Link. It's aimed at overcoming the fragmented buying of the infrastructure, and it's still envisioned to be a $2.5 billion IT acquisition vehicle. The requests for proposals have been out there. We've received proposals back. We've actually, in February, we awarded the initial component of NOAA Link Strategic Management Services. That was made in February and has been paying great dividends. Got a team helping me with some of the Deepwater Horizon activities, providing program management support. But we're also pushing for additional contract awards in really the core areas during this fiscal year, and that's the plan. There's always a lot of things you have to go through to make these large awards, but we would anticipate additional awards being made to small businesses and firms participating in the program authorized under Section 8A of the Small Business Act, and then ultimately to large business. So the idea is that we have program management support under the Strategic Management Services. Think of that as like system engineering, technical assistance. And then we have core awards under 8A, small business, and large business, and full range of IT services. So I'm really excited about this opportunity. I'm glad that we're still on track. We're still executing the plan. It's taken a little longer than I would have envisioned 2 years ago, but we're still following the exact plan that we laid out.
Well, I know there's a lot of vendors looking at NOAA Link, waiting on NOAA Link. I know it's procurement sensitive, so you may not be able to say too much, but do you have any idea of when those awards will be made? I know you said before the end of the fiscal year.
So more shortly.
More will become shortly. All right, something to look out for. And I know that the award in February for the initial component was made, actually, it was, I think, one of the largest awards ever to a service-disabled veteran-owned business.
Yes, and everything's been working out great.
Yeah, sure. So I remember hearing about that. That was a big deal, too. All right, NOAA Link, obviously a priority for now. It was a priority 2 years ago. It's probably a priority looking forward. What are some of the other things you want to work on over the next 6 or 9 months or so?
I want to bring some of these activities we talked about to fruition, not to closure, but to really focus on implementing NOAA Link in certainly the next 6 to 9 months and starting to realize some of the benefits, certainly with the supercomputing, getting those computers up and running to realize the additional output there. Also, we've recently stood up a cybersecurity center, and that is also paying tremendous dividends. But I want to expand that cybersecurity center. I also want to continue expanding NOAANet and NWAVE capabilities. So it's not so much new initiatives as it is bringing the ones we've got ongoing to more of a steady state and continue to push for expansion of planned modernization, new transformation initiatives. And there's a couple other things that we've got a few cloud pilot activities ongoing, and I'd like to bring at least one or two of those into full operations and then take the lessons learned from supporting Deepwater Horizon, certainly in the data and information management, to better position us to support other environmental crises. And I guess the last thing I'd say is that I continue to remain committed to improving our IT workforce. And in this area, we're one of six federal agencies participating in a pilot, one-year pilot, with FedRecruit to improve recruitment and hiring and onboarding of entry-level talent in the IT area. So this is something that I think could potentially hold great dividends in terms of bringing on the right talent. It all comes down to getting the right talent on board to take advantage of the emerging technologies. There's a lot of opportunities out there, and they're available to everybody, but you got to have the right staff to be able to turn the technologies into mission gain.
Very nice. Obviously, your plate's full just with the stuff we talked about previously and now some of the new things. But I want to ask you about a couple of things you mentioned. The Cyber Center, you said you recently stood it up. It's starting to pay some dividends, and you'd like to kind of maybe even expand that in terms of what it does. Talk about the Cyber Center a little bit. What's the goal, and how would you like to expand it?
This is in our facility we have in West Virginia that we share with NASA. It's a data center that we have one of our supercomputers in, and so we took a corner of the data center, and we built out a, it could be a 24/7, it's not staffed that way right now, cybersecurity center. And one of the things we're trying to do is to turn our IT security into a real-time operations. And we are building in security more and more into our systems. We're capturing all the events, but the events are just tremendous in terms of number of activities. So we're logging hundreds of millions of events per day, but it's becoming so complex that you need real-time security, and you need very sophisticated tools to allow you to take this real-time monitoring and to make decisions. Do you shut something down? What do you do? And no matter how many analysts you have, they can't possibly assimilate all the information. So you need very complex tools. You need feeds coming in from around the country. And so we've been working on that for the last year, and it's amazing to see how much we've been able to accomplish in 1 year. And I was just taking a team out there yesterday to get a firsthand exposure to what we're able to do.
And as far as expanding in, is it just more tools and more analysis, or do you see another area of expansion?
Well, I look at it both as a vertical and a horizontal expansion. We're still trying to assimilate all of our systems in NOAA to integrate with the Cybersecurity Center. So getting feeds from different IT devices, systems, and then also adding additional capability into additional tools. And really, there's no limit in terms of what we can do and need to do. It's getting to the point where it used to be you had to do maybe three dumb things on a computer in a row to get infected with malware, and then it was two. But now it's essentially zero. Somebody can send you something, or you can just come across a website and not really do much of anything, and you can get your computer can be infected. Attacks are very sophisticated, and you may not even be aware that an attack is ongoing. So this kind of capability is critical, I think, to our defense in depth.
And it's something that's every agency is starting to face at the same time, the idea of not only real-time monitoring, but the defense in depth. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of your other priorities that you are working on. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Joe Klimovich, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Chief Information Officer and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications.
CIOs and IT directors, are you paying for capacity services that you're not using? Take a good look at your capacity services contract, and next time, make sure you're not signing just another lease. Ask the experts. Vion Corporation, you can create a plan so that you only pay for what you use. When your job is on the line with data storage decisions, that's the way to go. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with integrity and quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. CIOs and IT directors, is your network-attached storage infrastructure out of control? Do you have dozens and dozens of NAS appliances that are difficult to administer? Ask the experts at Vion Corporation how Hitachi's high-performance NAS, powered by BlueArc, can consolidate your NAS infrastructure, reduce your number of NAS appliances, and improve your NAS performance. With a 30-year partnership, Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been bringing you innovative technologies with quality service. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Joe Klimovich, the NOAA Chief Information Officer and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications. Now, before break, Joe, we talked a lot about your current priorities, including cybersecurity. And the other one that we hear a lot about is cloud computing. It's a big push across government. You said you have a couple pilots going on. Talk to us about the pilots, and you said you wanted to hopefully take one into a full operational mode.
Now, our strategy really on cloud computing is to create that flexible, open environment, allowing access and interoperability between the different environments, and then reducing complexity and maintenance of our environment. And I think that we're helping a lot of organizations go through the FISMA certification accreditation. So I think that cloud computing is coming into its own. We've run pilots with Google Apps and also Microsoft's BPOS, their Business Productivity Online Suite. We also have a pilot with Everbridge, the emergency notification system, and trying to work, you know, make sure that in time of an emergency we can reach all of our employees. Being as scattered about the country as we are, a lot of planes and ships and remote areas, that's a challenge, but we think that that's the way to go there. Also, we've been working with GSA on these the certification accreditation, so we're following what's going on there. That's been a big hurdle, I think, that's coming about, that we understand where we need to be from a security perspective, so I think that service level agreements that include exit strategies are also, I think everybody understands that once you get into the cloud, you need to make sure you can get out or change your business model if that is necessary. So to me, this makes sense. The technology is there. I think we have other software as a service that we're buying other solutions out there that are really just been around for a while. But those are some of the big ones. And I think that there's some opportunities to bring some of that to better and more widespread use.
I know you mentioned operational use. Anything right now that you plan to go operational, or is it still in the study stage?
It's all characterized as pilots. We've got a lot of innovative and creative and folks in NOAA that would like to, and they continue to want to use state-of-the-art technologies. And I don't try to discourage that at all. I think what we need to do is to take advantage of all this technology, look at the technology, and then it's my job to sort through all the emerging technologies into which ones are real, which ones can be supported in the long term to and best meet our mission requirements.
I want to jump over to some other things. There's been a lot of news, obviously, about the Gulf oil spill. NOAA played a pretty key role in that. Talk about, from a technology perspective, what were some of the technologies that really emerged as being useful and really made a difference?
I want to first start talking to folks about being involved in the Gulf oil spill. So what's the IT role in there? And I know that IT is the backbone of data sharing and real-time response, and that was certainly the way it played out in the Gulf response. And with the current situation there, we're demonstrating how effective IT can support providing real-time data sharing, certainly within the government and with the public. So we had this immediate need to deliver critical situational awareness, information, and research data to the public and scientific community. And so we launched this federal website meant to provide that data with clarity and transparency. And it's called geoplatform.gov, and it's a one-stop site for detailed near real-time information about the response to the Deepwater Horizon oil spill. I think what's amazing is that we stood the site up and it was available to the public in less than 2 weeks from the time the hardware and software was commissioned. So it's a tremendous amount of work. There's not static pages. There are feeds that come in from different agencies, and we've got lots of different organizations that feed data into that site: Homeland Security, Coast Guard, Fish and Wildlife Service, EPA, NASA, Geological Survey, and the Gulf states also contribute to that site. So we had to work out agreements with each of those entities, and it's almost like each one is an individual system interface. And to get all that stood up in that time, and we've had almost 5 million visitors to that site from virtually every country in the world, and staggering number, at least the first day, and we didn't have any performance issues. So that's always a problem when you're challenged, and you think you got to worry about is your site going to be able to handle the traffic, and you need to worry about security and everything else. We've got over 600 data layers on that site right now, and as I mentioned, the federal, state, and local agencies are working together to put data up there.
Now, let me jump in real quick. You talked about getting this stood up in 2 weeks, and I did an interview recently with the CIO at the Recovery Board who talked about using cloud computing for recovery.gov. Did cloud computing, and we just talked about that a little bit at NOAA, but did that play a role in you guys setting up the website?
Well, we host the site in NOAA's web farm, and NOAA's web farm is replicated in 4 different cities and essentially is a cloud of its own. But because of the speed we had to move and because of the security arrangements and so on, We just decided to host it on our platform. We did look at that as an option, and I think that one of the things I'm trying to do is to, we know that we've got to be able to continue to improve how we get information out to the public and share information even in, amongst the government agencies. So I'm looking at, you know, what's the next iteration? How do we prepare for the next environmental crises? And certainly the cloud is a possible solution. But this, in this particular case, I knew we had the capacity in our existing web farm.
It's a great segue to the next crisis. We're right in the middle of hurricane season. It's probably going to ramp up over the next few weeks and as we head into September. Talk about how NOAA has upgraded its technology to prepare for this year's hurricane season.
Well, our web farm distributes about 14 to 18 terabytes of data per day. That's a tremendous amount of data. We can see this number increasing 2 to 4 times that number during storms and critical weather days. And then during hurricanes, it typically increases between 8 and 12 times during peak hours. So we're pumping out a lot of data, and it depends actually where the hurricane is. If it's near a populated area, a tremendous interest in our data off of our web system, web farm. And we've also noticed that in the last 5 years that we've had a consistent growth of people trying to download our data, and it's about 150% per year. And I think this is due to many factors. Our products are, the number of products are growing, the products are increasing in resolution and complexity, as well as there's a growing access to broadband across the country. As we bring broadband access to different parts of the country, they now realize that they can access and download our products with ease, and that increases our demand. So to deal with this growth and demand, we have a distributed system, 4 sites, 4 different cities, as I mentioned, under global load balancers as well as local load balancers. And we've had to continue adding capacity to our web farm, but then you also have to constantly make sure you've got the right balance between the different sites. And we've also tripled our commodity internet access just this year to share information faster and more reliably. You constantly need to be looking at your pipes to the internet. I would just say, lastly, we've had regular exercises. I'm also in charge of NOAA's Homeland Security, so we have tabletop exercises. If we have a hurricane hit this particular city or this particular area, what products do we need to generate, and how do we get those, and what are the plans, and what are the impacts on our system? So we're always preparing for and then trying to harden our IT.
Well, that's an incredible amount of use, as you said, you know, 2 to 4 times during storms and even larger during peak times. And it seems like you guys are better prepared. I just hope it doesn't have to happen this year in terms of the hurricanes.
Same here.
Well, we are unfortunately out of time. I think this is something we could have talked to probably another hour or so, but we're going to have to let you go. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Joe Klimovich, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's Chief Information Officer and Director of High Performance Computing and Communications. Joe, thank you so much for joining us again.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
WFED Washington.